Everly?
White, Cathedral City, Coachella, Desert Hot Springs.
This is Danny Porras, Desert Hot Springs.
La Quinta. I'm sorry, it's out of order. Indian Wells. Indio.
Here.
La Quinta.
Here.
Beverly, are you back? We're having technical difficulties.
Palm Desert? Yes, I am.
Okay, there you go. La Quinta was the last one, Beverly.
All right, Palm Desert.
Here.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Agua Caliente.
Here.
Sunline Transit.
Yep.
We have a quorum.
Okay, now we're going to item three, public comments on agenda items. This time is in place for any person wishing to address the Transportation Technical Advisory Committee on any item appearing on the agenda, but within the purview of this committee. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone for public comment?
Mr. Chair, this is Ken Somalo with the City of Indian Wells. I don't have a comment. I just wanted to acknowledge that I was in attendance. Thank you.
Okay. So seeing no public comments, we'll go to item four, chair or director announcements. I have no announcements. Does anyone, Martin, do you have announcements? Dr. Somalo. Was Martin on? He looked like he was off. No, he's trying, he's saying he can't. We can't hear you, Martin. Martin just texted me to see if we can hear him.
Martin, you should be unmuted now.
Yeah, he's texting me. He says he has no comment.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't able to. I couldn't log in. I mean, I couldn't hear you guys.
That makes two of us, Martin. So John Corella here. I had trouble logging in, too.
Just one thing. On the next agenda, we will have switching of the chair here. So if there are any volunteers... otherwise, the last one in the next meeting would be the chair. Anyway, think about that. And I want to thank Joel for his time. And just another thing related to CV Link. As you guys know, we're out to bid right now. Bid opening is coming up on Monday, August 3rd. We're going to have a special joint transportation executive committee meeting on July 31st. August 31st, I'm sorry. And we'll select a contractor and go out, get going, go out to bid. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for helping us through this whole process and getting to the finish line here. It's been a long haul. Looking forward to building CV Link in your communities and providing your residents with a good facility to use for bicycle, pedestrians, and electric vehicles. Okay, so thanks everyone. We'll be still working and coordinating a lot as we move forward, but getting to this point was a challenge, and I just want to thank you guys for helping out and supporting us. That's all I have.
And Beverly, just to note that John Corella is now here from the city of Cathedral City.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item five, consent calendar. 5A is approve the May 27, 2020 Transportation Technical Advisory Subcommittee minutes. Do you have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Anyone opposing? Seeing none, motion passes. Item six, discussion action, initial, item 6A, initial discussion of transportation project cash flow. Eric, staff report.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. A few things are normal. We have some baseball. This is an item that went to transportation and to executive committees, but it had not gone to you guys, and you guys are the keepers of the project, so I wanted to make sure that we had the discussion in TTAS. Cash flow, it really was stimulated by the Portola Interchange project in Palm Desert, a project that has grown from a $75 million project to a $110 million project, and that has no external leverage funds. And so it caused us to take a look at our cash flow, especially in the COVID economy that we're in right now. And I'm going to throw up, just for our big projects, I'm going to throw up, it's in your staff report, but I'm going to throw up a slide that shows that for the planned interchanges, so the big projects, you know, and that's Jackson Monroe, Portola, Avenue 50, even Duval. But I'm also including, you know, some of the big HBP projects. But of those projects right now, and again, this spreadsheet is in your staff report, but there's very little outside funding coming. When we look at the recently completed interchanges, I think the big five, or maybe even six. The green represents the outside funding, the external funding, mostly federal, but some state. You know, they were 80% funded. You know, as $180 external million dollars we pulled in versus right now a projected $2.8 million. And then when we throw in the projected shortfalls in Measure A and TUMF, you know, we've got a, at least short-term, but that short-term may turn into a midterm, a little bit of a cash crunch, probably for the next several years, perhaps beyond that. But the projects that really seem to be at risk are those projects which are very large and have no leveraged funds. And so the executive committee asked CVEG staff to prepare a financial analysis, kind of a fiscal analysis, looking at short-term and kind of midterm ramifications of these types of projects that aren't bringing in outside funds and our revenue projections, both from Measure A and from TUMF, and trying to take a look at the environment that we're in. Again, right now, I think there's a moratorium, although it may only be a couple of months, on these big projects moving into construction. The cash flow just doesn't appear to be there in the very short run. However, I wanted to make sure that everyone understood that for projects that are in the pipeline and are working on environmental, working on design, even right-of-way, we want to continue, if those projects are under contract with reimbursement agreements with CVEG, we want to keep those projects moving, at least up to the point of being shovel-ready and potentially to construction. But again, once this financial analysis is done, we'll have policy from the executive committee that'll help us guide us on what to fund for construction. But, you know, for example, the county has a project on Avenue 48 that they're wanting to move into PS&E for $350,000. Those types of projects should still move forward. You should still submit them to staff at CVAG. We'll still present them to committees. Unfortunately, it's the very big projects. And it's the very big projects that have difficulties either without having any external funds or perhaps where the external funds aren't available in the case of Highway Bridge Program funding that right now we're having to reconsider. And that affects both, you know, the entire valley. You know, interchanges are throughout the valley. HBP funded projects are throughout the valley. But mostly I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that there's not a moratorium on moving projects through design, moving projects to the point of being shelf ready or shovel ready. But that there is a cash flow, I don't want to use the word crisis, but there certainly is a shortfall that is likely to continue. And I know that some of your local budgets are in a similar situation. Are there any questions that you may have with respect to CBAG's policy? Again, we're in the process of preparing an analysis. It may be ready for we anticipate committees at the end of August. And I don't know that policy recommendations will come out of that meeting, but certainly by this fall, there will be policy to help us work out the projects. But does anybody have questions?
Yes, good morning, everybody. So one thing that we really need to consider at CVAG's level, like last year, the City of India applied for the Tiger Grant, and it was close to $60,000 application. And we sought the help of CVAG in funding that application, but currently CVAG's policy does not allow for that. I'd like for CVAG to reconsider participation in these, in funding these big projects, in funding the grant applications, at least at the same ratio, 75-25%. Because at the end of the day, if we secure any funding, it's taken off the top of the cost of the project. So I think it's only fair, and it encourages all the cities to apply for funding and, you know, for these projects with this magnitude of cost for the grant application. So that's my request for future policy, at least on these major projects. Thank you.
John?
Thank you. Eric, and I'll speak to the presentation. I agree with you that the project should be go forward all the way to the EIR project engineering design phase, all the way up to being shovel ready. We all know that after this whole thing ends, we're going to have some sort of infrastructure program. We want to be ready for it. And I'll just, actually, I didn't even think about it, but Tim brought up a great point, and I'll affirm that your help, CVAG's help, in getting grant funding for these major infrastructure projects should be kind of a normal thing, as long as it's vetted, because it's all dealing with the infrastructure that we pay our TUMP funds for in this valley. So I'll just confirm that, Tim. That was a good idea. But want to just reinforce the point of making sure we are shovel ready, because there's a lot of value in that when it comes to doling out that grant funding from FHWA and or even Caltrans. So that's it.
Anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Eric, thank you for bringing this up. I think it's important, and I apologize if I missed it, but so is the policy CVAG's developing going to have a priority if we do have to cut projects, or, you know, you said that the fund was limited, funds are limited. So, you know, is there a way that you're developing a priority, and is that something that we can all vote on and agree so it doesn't, so CVAG's not blamed that the TTAS actually is responsible for the priority, how we prioritize the projects?
So right now, the executive committee has asked CVAG staff to do a financial analysis and a cash flow projection tied to the projects that are in the queue currently. I don't know that CVEG staff will be recommending policy so much as I think the executive committee will be discussing policy recommendations. I think that presentation of that analysis could happen as soon as the end of next month, end of August. I don't know if there will be policy recommendations coming forward that soon, or if it might be later in the fall. Martin, do you have anything to add on that? I don't anticipate CVAG staff necessarily recommending the policy. We may provide ideas to the exec, but I think the discussion is going to happen at the executive committee level.
Yeah, this is Martin here. I think at this point, we don't know. It just depends on how all the cash flow works out. There'll be some options for the, I'm sure we'll develop some options for the executive committee or the committees to consider. If you guys recall, when we first started our TPPS update meetings, I did notify you guys that, you know, potentially that we would be one option for sure that we would be looking at was the possible 50-50 split from the 75-25 split. Now, again, that's just some, the committees need to discuss that and, you know, give us direction on how they want to move forward with that. But it's definitely something that will be discussed. Don't know a whole lot more until we do the whole cash flow analysis. And then we'll bring that back and for discussion.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks, Martin.
I have a question, or just more of a statement, I guess. Palm Springs is pretty much has a project that's shovel ready. We're ready to go. Where Caltrans gave us the RFP con with advanced construction. They've asked us to look at cash flow as well and possibly request, you know, not the full amount, but portions of it. Is CVAC going to consider that projects? I mean, we need to get out to construction soon on the Indian. And we probably, I think we were looking at it, if we break it down into maybe $9 million 1 year and then 15 or less the next year or a little bit less, we might be able to do a 3 year cash flow. So we want to make sure that that's on CVAC's mind, that we're going to be ready to go.
Right. I know we've had some preliminary discussions, and that's with HPP funding, and that's the case also with Avenue 50 in Coachella and other projects, as you know, Joel, in Palm Springs. Certainly everything's on the table. We know especially that project's been around since probably some of us were in college. We want to help these projects move forward. I know that, you know, the answer, it depends, isn't a great answer, but, you know, as you're aware, there are some HPP projects in the city of Palm Springs that involve, you know, almost $100 million, and some that are involving tens of millions of dollars, and those would be obviously different situations. But certainly to the degree that we can build that into our cash flow analysis, and I believe that particular project on Indian is being folded into our analysis. It's an existing issue. It's been requested from the city. I know that we're considering it. Beyond that, I can't really speak to that specifically, but I assume that's going to be the case with other HPP projects where HPP funds are technically there, but not necessarily available from Caltrans.
You had a question? Unmute yourself.
Working on it, trying to find the button. Just a quick question on the schedule for this. So CVAG is going to do the analysis, come up with a menu of alternatives that the executive committee will be presented with, and then they'll make recommendations or modifications to that menu. And how does this group weigh in on that, or are we advised of that prior to help with some of that menu?
Right now we're in, you know, even this meeting isn't a regularly scheduled meeting. I would anticipate, if only for signal synchronization, I would anticipate potentially a meeting in August for TTAS and perhaps every month for the next 3 or 4 months for TTAS. If we had a TTAS meeting in August, it could occur prior to the, I believe right now, I don't know if it's official, but I believe the tentatively scheduled joint transportation executive committee meeting is looking at the 31st of August. I don't know if the analysis would be done in time to review it with this committee prior to that meeting. I don't know, and Martin can speak up, I don't know that we're anticipating all of the answers from the executive committee immediately. It may be that they ask us to do further analysis. It may be that, I just don't know. But certainly there would be an opportunity for this group to weigh in, potentially in August, but for sure later, like September, if that process continues.
Okay, so just so that I understand, so the analysis will be done, a list of recommendations, possible recommendations be submitted to the exec committee at the end of August, and that's their first introduction to how to address the problem, but they won't be making a decision at that meeting on the final funding strategies.
They could. It's just my opinion that that's an awful lot to digest and make a decision immediately on.
So I guess I'm asking what CVAG staff is going to do on this. What is your schedule? What do you plan on doing to get the input from the exec committee and this committee?
I'm going to throw that to Martin.
Tom, so we're hoping to at least have some kind of a draft, you know, on the cash flow to take to the joint meeting, Transportation and Executive Committee at the end of August. If we don't, then it's going to go into the fall. But I don't foresee committees taking a formal action right away. Like Eric said, it's going to be a lot for them to absorb. And when we do our analysis, we'll know, you know, we're not only taking into consideration the interchanges or additional interchanges, we're taking into consideration all the other projects and obligations that we've made, that we have with your jurisdiction. So it's going to be a bigger pot. So
I understand it's a huge cash flow issue that, you know.
Yeah, I would think it's going to come back. It'll be several meetings and to digest everything and finally get to some sound policy decisions that are going to please, I guess I would say please a majority of us, not all of us.
So I think what I'm getting at is that you're in charge of the schedule here, so you can tell us tell your executive committee what you're going to present to them on the 31st, and then set out the steps for how this is vetted both through them and through this committee.
Yeah, I would assume that would be what we would do. It's going to involve, of course, you know, Tom and his review and how we lay this out. I don't know exactly, Tom, right now until we come up with the final numbers, you know.
With something this big, I think it would help you and all of us to have a lot of transparency so that we're able to communicate our support back to our elected officials.
Agreed.
All right. We're here to help.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Hey, Martin. This is Jesse Eckenroth, City of Rancho Mirage. We have an HBP project, the Frank Sinatra Bridge, coming up. The costs on that have changed since the reimbursement agreement we have with you. Do you plan to send an update to the cities to ask if project costs have changed when you do your cash flow analysis.
Yeah, you know what? It would be ideal right now to know that. And if any of you do have some increased costs or changes, please let us know ASAP, because that obviously is going to change the bottom line. We're going based off of right now some existing, you know, reimbursement agreements. And as you guys all know, some of those cost estimates are older now, and we all know they will change. So if you do have some increased costs, please let us know ASAP.
Sure. I'll send our costs to you today. And like Tom had mentioned, if you want any input from any of us, feel free to reach out to us. I think I have some ideas about how we could fund the Frank Sinatra Bridge's cost is coming in higher. Our city has held off on submitting a amended reimbursement agreement just because we don't have approval from Caltrans yet, but we still know the cost. So whether they're going to give us the extra money or not, we can still give that to you. So I'll make sure to get that to you guys probably today. Thanks, Martin.
Great. Perfect. Thanks. Yeah. You guys, anybody else, you have some other projects, you know that there's an increased cost. Please get us those numbers.
I'll get some to you, Martin.
Okay.
And also, if there's a, I don't know if we would treat it as a recommendation from this committee, but maybe if there's a consensus on the ability to leverage regional funding into grant applications, perhaps that would be something that would be worth knowing, if there's a consensus from this group that we could pass along to transportation and exec. Tim?
Yes, definitely. I think without any question, we need to have the consensus of everybody. So if you want it in a form of a motion, we can make it a motion, or if you just want to ask if any objects to it. If no one objects to it, then have consensus.
Hey, a question I have, this is Jesse. A question I have is, obviously I think an existing project should have priority before a new project. So just hard to give my opinion on that if I don't know if existing projects are gonna be funded because we're gonna fund new applications.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, and it's in the staff report, CVAG does not intend to slow down anything that's in the pipeline. If we already have a reimbursement agreement, if a project is moving forward, and I'll just use the example of the county's project in Coachella on Avenue 48, it's in design. They need to move it to final PS&E. That's going to cost $350,000. They should definitely request that. It will likely receive a recommendation for approval. Those type of typical movement through that process, we don't want to slow that down. I wanted to emphasize that. It's going to construction, and it's going to construction on the projects that aren't leveraging external funds that are the ones that we really need to be careful with. Just because with rising costs of the project and reduced revenues from our typical funding sources, it's a problem. But we definitely don't want to put the brakes on projects that are in the pipeline, moving through that pipeline. And that's in the short run. Anything that's needs approval for construction, you know, obviously we'll consider. I suggest that that's probably a moratorium. It's not official, but I don't know that staff will be recommending projects for construction unless they have heavily leveraged projects that are already in the pipeline. But even that, I think we don't want to slow projects down. We want to get in, and especially, you know, if they're in the environmental or design phases or even right away, I think we want to get them through those phases so that if and when stimulus money becomes available, or not even stimulus money, just a transportation bill, creates funding opportunities, we want to be there ready with our projects.
Sure. Great. Thank you. Yeah, as long as it doesn't jeopardize any existing projects, that was just my only concern. Thank you.
Looks like Eric froze there.
Yeah, he did.
Or he's just, I don't know. Was it too?
Well, if there's a chair, if you'd like to just, you know, get a consensus on the committee.
So did we have a motion? Were we going to put a motion on the floor, or were we just want a consensus from everyone that we want to be able to have input on this before it goes to? Tim, were you saying you wanted to put it on the floor?
I was actually talking about the grant application. So if you want it in a form of a motion, I move that in the future for projects that are on a high priority on the TPPS for grant funding application to be shared the same ratio of 75-25 with CVAG, even CVAG being a joint applicant. So that's the motion.
I second that, Tim.
So do we have anybody objecting to that? Nobody objects, so I think the motion passes. So what was the other motion, Martin?
That was it.
Okay, all right. So moving on to six.
Mr. Chairman, shouldn't we be having at least some consensus for what Eric was presenting as a general approach to this? Are we all in concurrence?
Yeah, I guess, does anybody object to what Eric was presenting? Is there a different, I don't think anybody. So I guess we do have a general consensus, John.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so moving on to 6B, the signal sync. Eric?
So we're getting to some exciting times. You've received the pieces of this. So on this one, on the update, we had finally our feedback from Federal Highway. And you guys were sent the actual feedback that we received from Federal Highway, basically telling us, here's some friendly suggestions that you may want to add to your CONOPS and SEMP. However, we're not requiring you to change anything. And we will issue our letter, which I included, which allows us to move forward. So we did not submit the possible suggestions that they listed because it would have triggered another review, and not having control of that, we wanted to go ahead and move forward. We may, combined with some of the comments in the third party review, we may, working through TTAS, come back and make a revision to our CONOPS and SEMP, mostly maybe for posterity, but just to make them improve the documents. But as far as what's required from Federal Highway, and as far as what's required to move those projects forward, we were good. And based on that, we utilized that as our ability to obtain our permission to submit an RFA, and we have submitted an RFA for construction. So, you know, if that's going to be a 90-day clock, you know, we can be optimistic and hope it happens before that, but we're on the clock. And so that was the Federal Highway comments. Does anybody have any questions on the Federal Highway comments? Okay, we also had a third party review that our executive committee had suggested that we contract with another engineering firm and just take a look. It's such a big project. We're leveraging so many federal resources. It's something that affects the entire valley. The executive committee wanted us to get a third party review. We had one completed. You all were received a copy of that review. And they were basically, I categorized it into three types of comments. There wasn't anything that they felt was necessary to be changed, which was good, because Federal Highway didn't see the need for that either. But they did make some suggestions, as did Federal Highway, of things that we may want to update our ConOps and SEMP with into the future. And as I said, I think we will want to. You know, it'll be up to TTAS. But I think maybe later this fall, we may take a look at that. We do not have to resubmit a ConOps and SEMP for phase two, because phase two is just a continuation of the same technologies in phase one. But perhaps we would submit one just to clarify and update and be consistent with Federal Highway suggestions. We may choose to submit a new ConOps and SEMP, but we'll discuss that in a future TTAS meeting. That was one set of comments that Fair and Pierce had. They identified quite a few issues that really need to be discussed TISMO. I couldn't think of that acronym. Our TISMO hasn't met in quite a while. TISMO is going to become very active now that we're moving to construction. I think we have the ability for TISMO to start working on the operational characteristics of our program, because the design will be completed and we'll be moving into construction. Fair and Pierce had quite a few suggestions and frankly some pretty good ones and ones we knew about already, but some we didn't, for TISMO to talk about. And they also had what I would call a whole subsection of comments of activities, you know, given what we're doing with our ITS equipment and software in the region. They had a lot of comments on programs that we may want to be looking at, or uses of our ITS software and hardware that we may want to use going into the future. I see this as also another item for the full TTAS to be discussing into the fall, into the winter. We will have capabilities to do a lot of the things, so I would urge you to read that third, if you haven't already, read that third-party review by Fair and Pierce and take a look at some of the suggested activities that we may want to look at as a region to utilize our ITS equipment for. Does anybody have any questions with respect to our third-party review that was completed? Okay. So with those things in hand, as I said, we did move forward and submit our request for authorization for construction funding. And I guess that's what leads into the next discussion item, which didn't have a staff report, but that's the plan specifications and cost estimate, and moving forward into construction with our bid documents. So Joelle, I'm gonna move to the next item, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
And when we sent everybody a link at the beginning of June, and I've got, I want to make sure, Carlos, can you unmute just to answer in case you need to?
Yes, I'm okay. Here.
So we have Carlos Ortiz here to answer any questions you may have. But we sent out, I believe on June 6th, a link to the plans and specifications and estimate, or specifications anyway. And I will note that really this was something that we had submitted to you last year, and in fact had theoretically were supposed to have finished reviewing in November of last year, because we were preparing to be completed with that in December when we decided to do what we called the pivot. And really the only things that changed in the plans was the communications and some of the controller references. Is that a fair statement, Carlos?
Pretty much. It was just two or three construction notes change.
So the review that the cities that you were all supposed to have been working on last year should have gotten us pretty close. And the changes that were made, and this committee decided they didn't want to have the plans resubmitted until we had a third-party review and until we had our federal highway comments back. And so we have those things completed and we sent those plans back to you. So, and we have received our comments back from Cathedral City and I think Indio. Anybody else, Carlos, so far?
Carlos, I thought we sent our comments back to you.
I said, yeah, Cathedral City we got and Indio.
Palm Desert sent your comments back also.
Okay, Palm Desert, okay. So I would strongly urge all of you to get those. If there's any questions you have, you know, maybe not tied to some specific intersection on your plans, but if there's any general questions, I would strongly suggest, you know, you could ask them now of Carlos, if, you know, something in general or some overall question about the plans and specs. We'll talk about a few of the changes to the specifications that we have been making from what you have received. But with respect to the plans, are there any questions for Advantech? Seeing none.
Oh. Yeah, Eric, I'm sorry, Eric. I'll check with our team. I know that we're reviewing it, but I haven't checked in with them in a while. So I'll do that and make sure we get questions back to you and Carlos.
Right. We, as I've said, we were able to submit our RFA with construction plans that were not for bid. You know, they accepted those plans, but we will revise them based on all of your comments, and we will revise our specifications as necessary, and we will resubmit them for construction. But right now the clock is ticking, and we're moving through our Caltrans review of our project. When we came to, so the plans aside, if there's no questions talking about the actual plans, when our team started going through again with a fine-tooth comb and the specifications, there were a number of areas that we drilled down to a little more detail than what was in the specifications that we sent out. One was with respect to the controllers. As you know, we did not have a uniform consensus on a controller type. A unanimous consensus. And so we did not specify Intellite as a manufacturer. We left that open. Now, having said that, we have a set of project requirements that we have included. We have also included in our specifications the results of our pilot project. We have contractors that are going to be bidding on this project, and we didn't want them to think that we had picked out regional requirements out of the thin, clear blue sky, that we had actually thought these through and we've actually conducted a demo where at least one manufacturer has proven capable of meeting our requirements, and we shared that result in the specifications. We have also indicated that we are not wanting to have the contractor include a company that's in beta, you know, that hasn't deployed a controller and a software platform in a similar type of situation successfully. In this day and age, the ability for a startup company to put together a package you know, is pretty simple given you know what China can accomplish and other manufacturers. So we've clarified that we don't want something that hasn't been successfully deployed in a similar situation. But we have left it open, and if they meet the requirements, then they can bid with whatever controller vendor they intend to. Does anybody have a question with respect to the controller? Obviously, that was kind of the big issue, one of the big issues that this group had.
No questions. We'll be installing 20 with our new contract from a Cycle 8 project.
Yeah, it's certainly worth mentioning that Cathedral City is moving forward with that same set of requirements. I think you're specifying Innolight. Palm Springs is moving forward with a project with that set of specifications. Desert Hot Springs is moving forward with a project with that set of specifications. I don't know, Danny, if you guys are specifying Innolight, but certainly we're being uniform across our region in terms of outside projects versus this project. And our hope is, my hope is that we'll have one controller. But, you know, it is open to others. We also drilled down on, well, actually I'll back up. So I think as everyone is familiar, the Federal Highway last year issued a new regulation or loosened their regulation on, I guess, what we used to call sole sourcing. And they now encourage, especially on ITS projects, Federal Highway is now encouraging parties to specify the equipment and the software that they want to have. They see that as a way of spurring innovation. That was the word innovation was mentioned frequently in the regulation. I think that they're wanting to let cities and counties and states specify the requirements that they want and specify the manufacturers that meet those requirements. So we took advantage of that, not on the controller, but we did take advantage of that on many of the other items that this group painstakingly went through last year in our technology assessment. As you recall, this group arrived at a consensus on most of the equipment. And in a few cases, maybe it was two or three manufacturers that we were comfortable with. In some cases, one manufacturer where we were comfortable with. But we have taken advantage of that and have specified those. We've specified those manufacturers where we had unanimous consensus. And so that is incorporated into these plans, but not on the controller. That's the one item that, and there may be a couple of other items that are somewhat generic that we haven't done that. We also drilled down in our specifications on commissioning. And again, this will be my first project in my career on purely signals synchronization and ITS elements. But a key piece of this is that when the contractor is finished, they have to prove that for 30 days, everything works. All the systems work. And if on day 28, something doesn't work, they start over at day one and make it work for 30 days. We made sure that was very clear in our specifications. This ties into something that's also written heavily into the specifications, which is coordination with all of your cities. As we learned in our demo, it isn't just Public Works, it's the IT departments of your cities that have to be in this loop as well. And I think Cathedral City and Palm Springs and La Quinta would all agree that the IT departments really were a key to getting a successful deployment, and they will be on this project as well. we're going to hire, in fact, the RFP will go out in the next week or so. We are going to hire a CM and CI consultant for this project. And we have put an initial set of hourly restrictions and moratoriums that exist in each city for construction. But these are going to be an initial. And in this COVID environment, we're going to emphasize that it's going to be up to the contractor and working probably, well, certainly through our CM and CI function, that coordination is going to be key with the cities. Different cities have different requirements and hours. Can we drop a lane at 3 a.m? Can we put signals on flash at 3 a.m? If the seasons are shut down for COVID, does that loosen up requirements for a particular jurisdiction or not? Are letters going to be required from cities? Depending on where the governor has ratcheted things down to, will cities have to issue letters allowing construction on their right of way? Those types of things will all be huge coordination items. That we'll put an initial set of what we have today into the specifications so that the contractor can look at a workflow, but that's going to be one of their first tasks, obviously, is working with each of your jurisdictions to figure out what are the available hours, what are the times where they can put signals on flashing red. And when can they have availability of your IT staffs? Any thoughts on the inspection side of that, coordination side? I would anticipate, and we haven't put out the RFP yet, but I would anticipate at least a weekly meeting just coordinating inspection. And I know some of your cities want to inspect everything that goes in on your cities, and some of the cities may not want to be as detailed, but I would anticipate at least a weekly meeting coordinating inspection amongst jurisdictions with the contractor. Any comments or thoughts or questions? Tom?
Are they going to be pulling encroachment permits for each city?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
We had asked you to waive those for the design, but not for the construction. So obviously they'll have to coordinate that as well. And in a COVID environment, who knows where we'll be when this actually hits construction. Other questions, Ken?
Thank you, Eric. I like the idea of the weekly meetings, but to avoid our inspector being a shadow to the project inspector, this seems like an obvious question, but we're going to have as-built and things like that, so we'll be able to refer to it. We don't have to shadow the inspector to understand what we're getting and how it was put in. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I've at least one or two cities have told me that they do plan on shadowing, or however you want to say that. They do plan on inspecting every single thing. They are still going to be your intersections, but CVAG will have an inspector that inspects everything and records everything. And, because we have to inspect to ensure it goes in and pay for it. But different cities will have different levels of inspection and different capabilities as well.
I just want to make sure that we're not going to interfere with location or anything else with our own project. I suspect because this is a regional project and we want it all to work, that it's going to be installed correctly. I mean, it just seems obvious.
Right, but again, we certainly don't want to step on the rights of the jurisdictions with their encroachment permits and whatever inspections you'll require. We certainly don't want to step on the toes of that. But it's going to require a lot of coordination. This is a very unique project in that respect.
Yeah, copy that. And I appreciate Tom's question about the encroachment permit. So thanks, Eric.
Right, yeah, we had in our participating agreement, we had agreed that during design, we would waive those, but certainly not for construction, because we understand the important function of an encroachment permit for construction. Anybody else on inspection? Or even on the bid items themselves, the controller or the other pieces of equipment? I think, Carlos, is there still a live link to the equipment, technology assessment, to where if a director of public works or one of their staff want to look up what equipment we are specifying, short of the bid documents, is our technology assessment still live somewhere?
Let me check. It's supposed to be in our project website, but it hasn't been updated based on after the. The last ones was updated before it was up before the pivot project. But so any results of the pivot project's not there yet.
Right, but the actual bid items going out into the bid package would be the items that were successful.
The bid items should be in a bid package right there. Okay. Because you got right. Different alternatives.
All right.
There's about 4 or 5 pages of that.
Okay, so and Carlos, those right now represent those pieces of equipment and those softwares that successfully came through our technology assessment, with the exception of the controller.
Correct. That's correct.
So if any of you, the bid documents which you have should indicate which equipment we're going to be installing, if you want to start getting on top of that.
And if anybody wants a backup information, we have that. We have the brochures, so all that. It cuts for every technology. But also we're doing a final check with each vendor, because just like your phone, everything changes so fast that we want to make sure we install the latest model of the controller, of every hardware and software.
And I guess, as always, if you've got a developer working on a project, or if your own city project is touching an intersection, please talk to Carlos and refer to those specifications so that we're all installing the same specifications on new intersections. Anybody else? That's really what all I wanted to talk about was the plans, and encourage all of you to get your comments in, so that Advantech can turn those around, and we'll share them back with you as a final document, and then we'll take that out. That's what we'll take to bid if there's no further comment.
You said maybe a drop dead for comments if there are going to be any, or at least a response from each agency so that we respond.
Carlos, next week?
I would give him 2 weeks. Based on the comments I received, we already addressed Cathedral City and India. They were pretty minor. It was more of providing feedback and just minor stuff. So the key part is to look at the specs too. Some of the requirements. The technical parts that we talked to in the past was more on the technical requirements in the front end.
Do we want to send them? Because the specifications that were sent out, we have since revised based on some of the items that I just discussed.
Correct. And we have revised based on a couple of cities' comments too.
An email with the link to those and just a drop dead return. This is what we're going with. I would suspect we'll have at least Palm Springs. We won't have much as far as input, but I think if you send out an email with the links to everything and say, can we get our comments by a drop dead date of certain times? That way everybody responds and you can move forward.
Sounds good. We can do that. We'll say by next week. We'll send a link today.
Okay.
Ken?
Yeah, Eric, is it okay if we share the comments from the other city so we're not being redundant?
Sure, we can.
Yes.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, moving on to item 7, 8.
Sorry, Joe, one more thing. We're putting all the comments in a matrix, so we're sharing the matrix with you, everybody, in our responses.
Okay, sounds good. 7, 8.
I think the rest were just information, correct?
Yep.
So, I'll just comment on that too. On the, we've been doing these the project status updates for our monthly committees, and that data comes from you all. And Bassam has started working on that for us. So I think most of you have been very helpful and responsive. We'll try and come up with a better standard format in requesting those comments. But obviously, you know, the updates aren't as important for you, but if you see if in all the sets of those updates, if you see errors or things that you wish to change for the month of August, please let us know.
So I guess we move on to item 8, public comments on non-agenda items.
Do we have any?
Doesn't look like it. And then any announcements?
Well, can I, can we get an update of how the TPPS or the your status of your update for that, the transportation program updates?
The best update I can give you, John, is that that process is going to kick itself off this calendar year. I expect this fiscal analysis will kind of, in some ways, be the very beginning of that. But I would think that we'll be putting out an RFQ, I would say in November, perhaps earlier, and start that process. And as you know, this iteration is going to be special. We've got the new local road safety programs that are not mandated, but are suggested, and some of you are working on them. We are going to put one together for the region. We've got our VMT requirement to deal with. We put, for the first time in our last TPPS, we put our ATP and our signal synchronization as blocks of projects into that. And I think one goal this year will be to integrate that. I also suspect, but don't know, that we'll have a little bit more of a CIP component to our TPPS, especially in this next 3, 4, 5 years where funds are hard to come by, and we want to make sure that everything that we're listing is going to get funded. But that whole process will start in earnest this fall. I would expect that an RFP will go out, or RFQ will go out, you know, October, November. And that the exercise would be completed in the year 2021.
Okay. Thank you.
Any announcements from any of the agencies? No announcements. Okay, so that pretty much concludes our meeting.
And thank you, Joelle, for your service for one more meeting.
Yeah, it was tough, but I did it. Right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. All right.